We can't even comprehend the way that you love us, God. And so, as you call us to love you and love one another, remind us of how you love us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It is great to be reminded of truth. And those things that we just sang are true no matter how this last week or this last season has been for you. Incredible privilege of personally knowing and trusting in Jesus and the difference that that makes. That's a great reminder. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I am not incredibly blessed with Brazil. But I'm incredibly blessed with the privilege of being married to my wife. I was thinking this past week of the 7 months before we were married. I was in California as a youth pastor. Kathy was in college finishing up her senior year. She was in Colorado. I was in California. And I deeply missed the girl that I dearly loved. And back then, there was no cell phones or FaceTime or all kinds of messaging. There were landlines, and you could make long-distance calls, but those were expensive, and we didn't have very much money. So almost all of our communication was handwriting letters that you put a stamp on, and you put in the mail, and you waited a week and a half for a reply to whatever question that you had asked. And I remember that there we are, separated by 1,000 miles or whatever it is. And I would go out at night often, and I would look up at in the sky and see the moon and the stars. And I would realize that's the same exact moon and stars that she could see in Colorado. And often I'd go out at night and look up into God's beautiful sky, and I would pray for that girl that I dearly loved who was several states away. And there were times that we would write and we would coordinate, hey, on Tuesday the whatever, at this time, and we would both be outside at night at the same time looking at the stars, praying for each other. There's something about praying for someone that increases closeness, even if you're hundreds of miles away. In our Threads Journal this past week, and if you haven't picked one up yet, I encourage you, please pick one up. The studies are phenomenal that Kyle and others put together in here, and they go with the Sunday messages. There are some that are on the usher tables as you leave. If you haven't gotten one yet, there's some on the wall, the other side of the wall right back here. I encourage you to pick one up. But wasn't it encouraging this past week to read the different prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed for different believers that he dearly loved, and compare and contrast and see similarities and see some patterns that were there? It was incredible to do that. And in Philippians 1, the Apostle Paul expresses his love for the Christians in Philippi, and then he prays for them. He's in jail, hundreds of miles away. So he prays. And at least part of his prayer is recorded in Philippians chapter 1. So take your Bibles, if you will, there. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, if you're using a Bible in the book rack in front of you, it's found on page 1178. Philippians 1, page 1178. It is a great prayer to pray for your children, to pray for your spouse, to pray for people in your Sunday school or in your life group, your D group, to pray for yourself. It's a great prayer to pray for about anyone. And compare it to the prayers that we normally pray for people. It's probably a lot different. Different focus. And just like last week, I diagrammed the sentences to see, okay, what's the main subject, the main verb? It's in verse 9. I pray that your love may abound more and more. That's the point. I pray that your love may abound more and more. So if we follow Paul's example, let's first of all, point number one, pray for believers' love to grow. Pray for their love to grow. Just pray for the believers' love to grow. Did you notice, as you read Paul's prayers this past week, how often he talked about the love that they had and that it would grow, and that the result of their love growing is that they would grow spiritually and other people around them would grow spiritually. Let's see that here, the impact of the kind of love that the Apostle Paul is talking about. Verse 9, Philippians 1, verse 9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Pray for believers' love to grow. It says, my prayer is that your love, the Greek word is agape, that your agape love, your selfless love, your sacrificial love, your others-focused love will grow. From Paul's other prayers, it almost seems like this kind of love characterized first century believers. And as a result, people were growing and the church was growing. This love is so different than the American view of love. In America, love is so often about me and what I get because you love me. If you love me, you would whatever I want at the moment. That's not biblical love at all. If you want to know how to really love someone, just follow the instructions of Scripture. Because Scripture is a guidebook for how to love. In Romans 13, it says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there is, are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Do you like to have other people stealing from you? No. Thank you. You are right. It's like a violation. It's like, it's awful when that happens. And so God says, don't steal. If you look through the Ten Commandments, the other commandments of Scripture, they're basically an explanation of how to love God, how to love people. And when we begin to see Scripture that way, it just tells us how to love. It changes how we read Scripture. It's like, oh, it's a guide for how to love. Pray for believers' love to grow. Pray that it will abound more and more. See, we are finite human beings with this finite capacity to love. And Christ is infinite, with no limits on his ability to love. And I thought about a balloon, that if a balloon represents the air inside the balloon, represents my ability, my capacity to love, and the air in the universe represents Christ's capacity to love. He says, my prayer is this, that your love, that your capacity to love may abound more and more. I pray that your capacity to love will continually get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you'll be able to love. Now, obviously, this illustration breaks down literally, because if you put too much air in this balloon, it pops, okay, and it goes away. But he goes, I just pray that your balloon of love, your capacity to love, will keep getting greater and greater and greater. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. This past Tuesday, literally as I'm studying and working on this message, I get a phone call from a dear friend who said, I just want to warn you that you're about to get an email from someone who you dearly love, they told me who does not believe in the God of the Bible. And I want you to know that this email you're going to get is going to be very difficult for you to read. And I thought, first of all, I'm glad that they would give me the heads up. I'm glad we can be in communication. But I felt concern, I felt fear, I felt what's going to be in this email. And it was a difficult email to read. I go, God, how do I respond to that? And he goes, it's the verse right here. Just pray this verse for yourself, Ken. That your love for this atheist friend will abound more and more. And that by God's grace and his goodness, oh yeah, there's a picture of my wife. Oh, you don't see those. I just see those. Okay, you don't know what's going on yet. They'll show back up here eventually. There's obviously some computer hassle, something going wrong up there that they're working on. And so I'm seeing all these slides going on back here, and you guys aren't seeing them yet. They'll get to the right spot. You'll see them eventually. It'll happen. But anyway, and I just pray that they, by God's grace, will grasp the love that I have for them. It was just helpful. Pray that believers' love will grow more and more. Pray that it will abound more and more. And there's a couple things it says to pray that it'll grow in. First thing it says to pray to grow in is that it will grow in knowledge and deep insight. It'll grow in knowledge and deep insight. Because the more we know truth, the greater our capacity to love will be. Verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. See, there is a sense that as you get to know a person, you just love them more. Because you get to know them. It's just natural. It's part of that. But this is talking about something very different. It's not talking about that kind of natural human love, but it's saying that the more we're overwhelmed with God's truth, the more we're overwhelmed with the songs that we just sang earlier, the truth in those songs about God's incredible love for us and who he is, the more we grasp that, the more we'll be able to love others. When I grasp that a holy, infinite God looked down on a very unholy, finite person that he created that was sinning against him, and instead of just sending me to go my own way or annihilating me, he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth and to die on a cross to pay for all of my sin, past, present, and future. And he offers me a gift, not something I earn, but a gift that if I admit my sinfulness and believe in, count on, trust in Jesus' death as the payment for me, he forgives all my sins and makes me his forever child. The more I grasp that, the more my love will abound more and more. And I'm going to tie it I know, don't do this in your own life, okay? Let your life keep getting more and more and more. But I'm going to move on to another point. The more we grasp God's truth, the more we'll love. The second way that our love is to increase is grow is in ever-increasing holiness. In ever-increasing holiness. Verse 9 again. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness. I realize that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, He declares us, He justifies us, He declares us as pure and righteous as Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And then as we grow in our love and in our knowledge, then our behavior becomes more and more holy as well. That Greek word for pure, that's translated pure in that verse, comes from two Greek words that have that mean son and to judge. Has the idea of judging something in the light of the sunlight. Okay? If you look good out in the sun, then you look good. Because the sun reveals every flaw you got. Okay, like you see it all out in the sun. He says, I pray that your love will abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ when we die or when Christ returns. I do my personal quiet time out of using the New Living Translation, and I was blown away by how this said it. It's like I've had it in my mind ever since. But listen to verse 9 and 10 out of the New Living Translation. It says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you'll keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. It says, I want you to understand what really matters, so that, Greek word henna, the purpose of this, so that you may live pure and holy, pure and blameless lives, tested by the light of the sun. See, that's my problem. I don't understand what really matters. I get so wrapped up in things that don't matter. I spend so much time and so much emotional energy and so much money on things that don't matter. Think about the things this past week that kept you awake at night, or that made you exhausted when you got to bed at night, or that consumed your time when you're running from here to there to there to there, or put you in like a financial shortage. Think about just this past week. Were those things that kept you from sleep, that made you exhausted, that just filled your schedule crazy full, were they things that really mattered? Or were they just things? Were they things that really mattered? I pray, I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. If I got what matters, my life would be different. So Paul's prayer, so relevant. I pray for your love to grow, for believers' love to grow in knowledge and depth of insight, which results in ever-increasing holiness. There's one more important thing to see in this text, and that's this, that it's all about God. It's all about God. Verse 11, we'll start reading in verse 10. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Our life transformation comes through Christ, because of Christ, and for His glory. I tend to read these verses and think, wouldn't it be amazing to live in a church where everybody is growing and growing in this kind of self-sacrificial, others kind of love, and they're growing in knowledge of the truth, and they understand what really matters, such that we're living these holy lives. And I go, wouldn't it be amazing to live in a church where that just characterized all of us? And Paul would probably say, yeah, that'd be amazing, but you missed the point. The point is God. It's all about him. And why would he say that? Because verse 21, we're going to get to in a couple weeks, for him to live is Christ. It's what his life is about. He's the one who brings the transformation, verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's all about him. Try having a prayer, a 5-minute prayer time, where everything you pray about is focused on him and bringing glory to him. 5 minutes. And go, see if that's like natural and easy, or if it's like, whoa, this is a long time to not bring one of my requests and one of the things I need. And please don't misunderstand. God loves for us to ask for personal requests. That's his heart. He wants us to do that. That's a very good thing to do. But all too often, I live as if it's about me. And I pray as if it's about me, when it's all about God. And he's for us to live as Christ. Next month is Pastor Appreciation Month. And this year, for the first time, we have a full-time kids ministry director, so it's going to be Pastor and Director Appreciation Month. I think we should call it PDA Month. I don't know if that'll happen or not. And I obviously have no idea what's being planned. Pastors don't plan Pastor Appreciation Month. And you guys are incredibly gracious to us, not just in October, but all year long, and we are so grateful for that. But if you want to know, what can I do that would really make a difference for pastors? Pray for us. Pray this prayer for us. Pray the other prayers that we read this last week in our Threads journal that Paul prayed. Pray those prayers for us. Pray those for our spouse. Pray those for our kids. Just pray for us. Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the mighty arm of God. There's nothing more significant than prayer. I want to end the message time by each of us silently praying this prayer for someone. Now, in case you close your Bible or your phone, the verse will be on the screen, but it's going to be in a couple parts to make it fit on the screen. And it might be better to use your Bible phone, but just pray this for someone. It might be someone in this room. It might be someone who's hundreds of miles away. It might be the prayer that you pray for your best friend. It might be what you pray for your enemy. But just find someone. Get a specific person in mind. The words will show up on the screen. And silently pray this. Put their name in place of the pronoun. I don't pray for your love to grow. I pray for Ken's love to grow. So let's just pray this together. Father, you've heard our prayers. May we be people of prayer. And may our prayers be focused on you for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As the ushers come forward, remember to drop your connection card in the bag. If you are a guest with us today, please just make this connection card your gift to us. We'd love to know that you were here worshiping with us. What an encouragement, what a privilege that we have the opportunity to intercede for our fellow believers in prayer at the throne of God above. The missions team is currently reading a biography of Hudson Taylor. For those of you not familiar with Hudson Taylor, he was one of the first, if not the first, Western missionary to China. The ministry that he started there continues to this day. And the biography we're reading is entitled Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. And right up front in the introduction, they give away the secret. His secret was prayer. He was a man that lived his life on his knees before God. Everything he did was preceded by prayer, supported by prayer, concluded by prayer, even down to his very own salvation. He was raised in a Christian home by Christian parents, but he tells a story of one day he was reading in his father's study, reading a book, and just felt very convicted of his sin, convicted of what he needed to do. Come to find out later, his mother was visiting relatives or friends in another city in England back in the 1800s. And she, at that time, felt compelled to go withdraw from everybody and just pray for her son. And she committed to praying for her son until she knew that he had been saved. And then 2 weeks later, she returns home. And as soon as she sees Hudson Taylor, he starts to tell her, you know, this great thing that he's been saved. And she says, "My son, I know. I've been praying for you." Come to find out later, his sister had also been praying for him. And so just a great testimony to the power of prayer, that his mother, his sister, were praying that his love would abound, that his love for the Father would abound. And he was faithful to that call. He was faithful to our Father above, and many, many people in China know God to this day. The church in China is thriving, and he was a pivotal piece of starting that work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we have the opportunity, that we have the privilege to come before you and ask and glorify and praise. It's just overwhelming at times that you who created the universe, who created the mountains of Colorado, the sweeping plains of Kansas, that created us, that you would love us enough to listen and to listen to our prayers and give us the opportunity to speak directly to you. I just pray that as we go through our week this week, that we would, that our love would abound for our fellow believers, for those we interact with, just that through that love they would know who we are and know that something's different. I just pray that we would strive to honor and glorify you in everything that we say and do this week. In Jesus' name, amen.